with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore.
For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore.
The times are difficult. Much confusion, lies, deceptions. The hearts of many are waxing cold, and we are seeing the falling away that the Word of God has shown us and shows in His Word and has been showing us for many years. We're living in real times, and how important it is for us of light mind and heart and spirit to fellowship and to come together in the presence of the Lord. And I want to exhort you today, and in many ways it's a bit of a continuation from Sunday's teaching, and I'm calling our teaching today, Poured Out Lives for Him. Poured Out Lives for Him. We are going to experience the power of the baptism of the Spirit in our lives if we make ourselves available to Him and obey Him and put Him first in everything. We are going to start to experience what the baptism of the Spirit is really all about. We know it is an empowerment. We know that it is to take us deeper with God. We know that the power of the Spirit moves us beyond the weakness of the flesh, man's heart, and so on. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is also to be experienced, and it is a witness. It is a witness of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power that raised Him from the dead, the power that caused Him to overcome the enemy, the evil one, and to raise Him at the right hand of the Father. And that very power that worked in Him is the very same power working within us. And this is not merely just theological scriptures from the Bible. It is a lot more than that. We've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that we may experience His fullness. We may experience the life that Jesus walked on the earth, the same lives for us also. And this has to be achieved. This must be done in the house of God before the Lord Jesus comes to rapture and take us. And I believe the empowerment or the experience of this empowerment is absolutely vital now in these closing days, with the powers of darkness closing in, with the enemy and the Antichrist coming forth shortly. God has still left us on this earth, and He's preserving and keeping us for a reason. For He must still have that light, His light, in this world. And you are that light. And His light is to shine in and through each one of us. And that light to shine in this darkness that is getting worse and worse requires a boost, a power. And that is why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, because nothing can put that light out. And we know the enemy is trying to put that light out. He's trying to pervert the gospel, deceiving, even if it were possible, the very elect of God. We're all of us at times under attack. And this is really why I'm encouraging you tonight with this title, Poured Out Lives for Him. If we turn to the scriptures, the Gospel of John, chapter 7, I want to look at a few verses here in John 7, verse 37 onwards, in which it says here, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." So immediately he is challenging those who thirst for God, who want more of Christ. And that again is what the baptism of the Spirit is for, is to challenge that within you. It is to cause you to thirst for more and more and more. This is why our ministry is called The Deeper Life. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his heart or belly will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So now that he is glorified, we have received the Spirit that he spoke of here almost 2,000 years ago. And whenever the Holy Spirit is experienced and the power of the Holy Spirit is poured out, you always get what follows. And I'll read it just briefly, verse 40 onwards. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound of the confusion that we have in religion and sadly in Christendom? And do you know what the problem is with those who are divided, confused, criticizing, asking questions? Do you know what the problem is? Because they don't thirst. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And if you're not thirsty enough, then you have an opportunity to ask God to put that thirst within you. To thirst for more and more, so that your lives can be poured out for him. Why? Because he says that we are like living streams, living waters, gushing out those living waters into the parched land. That's why. Well, with that in mind, we're basing this on he who believes in me, out of his heart will flow those rivers of living water. Now, Jesus did not say he who believes in me will have a deeper understanding and experience of the blessings of God. He says, he that believes in me, out of his heart will flow those rivers of living water. And our Lord's teaching was always emphasizing that death to the self life. In other words, these rivers of living water will only flow if you are willing to die daily, taking your cross also and follow him. These rivers of living water will not come from your life if it's all about you and blessings and what you can get from God. If that is your motive, if that is your reason for following him, you're going to be very, very disappointed. Now, it's not to say that God does not bless. He does. And that is the Father's heart and nature, and he does bless abundantly. But all your blessings come as a result of the fact that you have got out of the way, and that you are allowing in your life and consecration those rivers of living water going wherever they want. See, water is an amazing thing. Water will get into cracks and areas that we could not get to, but water can get to. Water will fill every area, every facet. It will get in to those places that, humanly speaking, would be impossible. That is the nature of water. And that is what he's revealing. That is what he's showing. He will move in ways past finding out. He will move in areas that is impossible. He will open doors that can't be opened in the natural. That is what it means by these waters, these springs of waters, living water, springing out through you and I. And it's on the basis of believing, trusting him. And that's why all of this is not about developing a person, developing your persona, improving you, making you more educated, giving you a position or status in this life. That is not what it is about. These rivers of living water that we are to experience, they can only be experienced when you and I get out of the way. When we stop telling God what to do. When we are willing to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with the self life, that selfish life that will always put self first instead of God. And that is why it takes the baptism of the Holy Spirit to deal with that self. Self can be a curse. We can be our own worst enemy, yet we so often blame the devil, and yes, of course, he does much, but much of it is also our own fault. We are our own worst enemy because we won't allow the Holy Spirit to deal with the self-life so that these rivers of living water can flow through us, reaching out to the needs in this life. So much of the church today fails in this because man wants to be in control. He wants to be in control of his destiny. He wants to serve God on his own terms. And we can't. God never makes a mistake. He's perfect. He's sovereign. And he's made no mistake over our lives. No matter how our lives are, or what we've done, or what sin has happened in our lives, he's made no mistake. That's why he calls, chooses from the foundation of the world. If God doesn't call, then no man will be saved, because it's not in us. It's not in us to follow God. That's why we fall out with him at times, until he works within us and shows us in his infinite wisdom that he knows best. That's why I've always said your life is a bigger picture. And when you start taking your eyes off yourself in your trials and your problems, you will see the greater picture, what God is building and doing through your life, affecting other people. So those rivers of living water are reaching out and touching those areas. So much bigger. We so limit God by our thinking, by our narrowness. That is why he said, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. The kingdom of God is the message. The kingdom of God is so vast, so big. Yet Christendom has so narrowed the gospel to its thinking, its denomination, its organization. Far, far bigger. That is why we preach the deeper life, that we can go through that door into a deeper walk with God, and you can go as far as you want. He takes all the limits off to those who hunger and thirst. They will be filled. Filled with what? Not yourself, your ideas. Filled with the fullness of Almighty God. That is what it's all about, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, has come baptizing you for the purpose to make you and I exactly like him. Like the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is the purpose of the Spirit, to make you exactly like him. You see, if we believe in Jesus, it's not what we gain, but it's what he pours through us that really counts. My life is disposed, my life is separated unto him for him to pour himself through you and me. That is why he wants empty vessels. We are the problem that gets in the way. We limit God by our narrowness, by our unbelief. That is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And every day you will meet trials. Every day you will see giants. Every day you will see mountains. It's impossible. And it is impossible. But we are not of the natural, we are of the supernatural. The Christian life is a supernatural life. It is not an ordinary life. It is a miraculous life. It is a life where we're seeing the miracle hand of God working, delivering, changing. They are the rivers of living water that flow through us if we will let him. And the problem is, so many, as it says in verse 37, they don't hunger and thirst enough. Why do I need God? I've got everything I want. I've got good health, I've got a good job, got a lovely family, got a house, car, always food on the table. What need? I mean, why are you saying all of this? It sounds crazy. Oh, dear, 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 dear. Those that think like that are the most impoverished spiritually, failing to see the spiritual life, failing to see that there is heaven and hell. God will put that thirst within you if you ask. That's why James says, you have not because you ask not. We ask for the wrong things so often. Is God going to turn his face against you if you ask him to put that thirsting within your heart, to thirst for more and more? Is he going to turn his face away from that? Is he going to harden his heart? Not at all. That is exactly what God wants to hear from you and I. He wants to hear those cries. He wants us to reach out because we want to go deeper with him. There is so much to experience with God. And if we can't experience it with God, then you might as well give up and just go back. There is so much the church should be experiencing these last days to what God has given us and has baptized us in the Holy Spirit in order for that. And so it's what he pours through us that really counts. You see, God's purpose is not just to make us like grapes on a vine that grow and become plump and full. No, those grapes that are growing on a vine that, yes, are becoming plump and full are for one purpose, and that is that God squeezes out of those grapes that sweetness, rivers, living water, touching lives. That is what the vine is about. That is what you're grafted in for. Not to be displayed, looking full and plump and delicious. No. So that he can squeeze out of you and me rivers of living water. That's what it's about. Hallelujah. He wants to squeeze that sweetness out of us. You see, our spiritual life can't be measured just by success as the world measures it, but only by what God pours out through you and I. And you can't measure that. The world likes to measure everything. The world likes to be in control of everything. The world likes to have all its lists. It wants to know. It wants to understand. Not how God works. Not at all. These rivers of living water that come out from us, you can't measure that. Because there's no beginning. There's no end. God is ever eternal spirit. He always has been and he always will be. There's no beginning, there's no end. And you cannot measure that. And that is why they found Christ difficult. That's why there was confusion, what we read there, verse 40 through to verse 44. They couldn't understand. They couldn't understand what he was saying. They were trying to find out who he is. Is he this prophet? Or is he from the seed of David? Who is this man? What is he doing? And because they couldn't understand, like man does, he then wants to destroy it. And why does he want to destroy it? Because he can't control it. And they couldn't control Jesus until the Father in that hour gave him over to man to be crucified. Up until then, he was divinely protected. and you are divinely protected, even though they may not always understand you. God gives his hedge of protection around us because they want to place us in their little books, in their lists. That's what they want to do with us. You see, so many say to me, well, what church do you belong to? What denomination are you? Whatever. And I just say, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, I know that, but you must belong to a denomination. You must belong to an organization. No, I don't. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they can't cope with that. They can't handle it. They can't handle it. Because it doesn't fit their narrow-mindedness, their boxes. They can't put a tick to it. So what do? They can only put a question mark. I'm reminded of the wonderful story of Mary of Bethany. You remember she broke the flask of that costly oil and poured it on Jesus' head. Mark 14. This emphasizes what I'm trying to say. Mark 14. Beautiful story, this. Mark 14, verses 3 to 4. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will always be told as a memorial to her. Wow. Isn't that something? It really is. You see, Jesus commended Mary for her extravagant act of devotion. She revealed she thirsted for the Lord. She revealed that she wanted more. She revealed that what God had put in her, she could touch the Lord Jesus Christ. It was revealed to her by the Spirit. She could give him something that he would understand, something that is intimate between her and the Lord. And we're told that what she had done, this gospel will be preached. What this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And the Lord is just overflowing with joy with what she's done. And when we do acts like that, he's overflowing with joy when he sees us doing what Mary did. And not being bound by a particular set of rules, but being completely and totally surrendered to him and him alone. We so often can be surrendered to a cause or to a means or to some organization or something that really we feel so strong about. The only thing we should ever feel strong about is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when it's with him, everything else will flow. But we so often get our priorities wrong. We so often get our families in the way, our husband, our wife, or whatever it is. These are the problems. And yet, look what she did here. It was costly. Yes, it's all she probably had. She could have sold it and been quite comfortably well off, but she didn't. She gave all that she had and was costly. And she anointed the Lord with it. And immediately the criticism came. They are looking at it in the natural, the carnal. And they raise a fairly good question. Well, you know, this money that this cost, this can feed the poor. And Jesus said, the poor will always be with you. And you will always be ministering to the poor. You will be reaching out to the poor. So much of your ministry will be to the poor. But what she is doing is something special to me. And she doesn't have to do it, but she chooses to do it. And you know, when you start to reach the Father's heart like this, you will experience his joy. You will experience his delight. And you can do that. And sometimes it's what costs you that he looks for. And that can be in so many, many things. What is costly to you, you can offer it and give it to him. And that is why we're so strong on Romans 12, 1 and 2, that you give your life, you give your heart, your all, you place yourself upon the altar. You are giving yourself, just like this woman gave of this fragrant oil to the Lord, anointing him. All that she had was costly. Well, you give yourself. That's one of the things. God takes delight when we present ourselves and give ourselves on that altar, because you can't give any more than that. You cannot give any more than your body, your soul, your being, your whole entirety to him. That's what he wants. That's what the deeper life is about. And I will tell you, that gives him great delight, great pleasure, great joy. And so our Lord is filled with that joy when he sees us doing exactly what Mary did and not being bound by rules and limitations, or I'll only give to God if he blesses me, and so on. No, 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 no. You see, God poured out his life through his Son, didn't he? When the Father gave his Son, he poured out his life through him, that the world might be saved. That you and I are here today in fellowship, coming under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the Father's heart poured out, that offering. And look what comes as a result of it. Here it is again, those rivers of living water. We are experiencing today, now, this moment, those rivers of living water ministering life to us. Healing us, making us whole in mind, body and spirit. That is what it's doing, brothers and sisters. And so God poured out his life in his Son that the world might be saved. And are we prepared to pour out our lives for him also? That is the question. That's why I'm calling this teaching today, Poured Out Lives for Him. Are we willing to do that? To pour out our lives for him? You know, you can't fulfill anything greater than that. That is what gives him delight. That is what pleases him. And that's why Jesus said, he who believes in me, out of his heart will flow those rivers of living water. And so those rivers of living water means that hundreds and thousands of lives can be continually refreshed. So your life, your ministry, your faith continually refreshes lives. It deals with stagnation. There's so much spiritual stagnation in Christianity. And God is pouring through you and me those rivers of living water to restore those waters again. There is so much stagnation at the moment. Because God cannot be glorified in that. And I believe now is the time for us to break that flask. And what is that flask? It's your lives, your heart, your confession, your faith. Stop seeking what you want, your own satisfactions, putting you first. But let your lives be poured out before him. And the question is, he's asking us tonight, brothers and sisters, will you do that for him? Are you willing to do that? To break that flask and pour out your life for him? That's what he's asking. That's what he's looking for. And believe me, what you will see come forth will be utterly amazing. There is so much the Holy Spirit wants to pour through us in these closing days. But we so limit him. I can't do it. I'm not educated. I can't speak properly. We bring up all these excuses. I could not be preaching tonight, brothers and sisters, if it were left just to myself. But when I knew God was calling me to the ministry, I was seeing scriptures like this. I was reading them. And I thought, this only God does this. I can't do it. I can't do it at all. But he's placed within me those rivers of living water. And once I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then it began to make sense. And it's no different for me than it is for you. No different. Same God, same baptism, same anointing, the Holy Spirit. He does it through us as well. And this is why, as I close, this is why I've always believed in body ministry, that the whole church functions with the ministries, the various ministries and callings and anointings. That is what the church should be. It is not left to one man ruling over the flock. That is not what the New Testament church is about. It is a church where all function with their callings and ministries. Of course, God puts the fivefold ministry there, but the fivefold ministry is always to point God's people to the Lord Jesus Christ and to get behind them and encourage them in their ministries. That is the nature of the fivefold ministry, and any minister that is trying to lord it over the flock and control the flock, I wouldn't advise you to get caught up in any ministry like that. And sadly, there are so many. That is not what it is about. That hinders that flowing of that water springs of water. It's controlling it, stopping it. No, 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 no. We encourage it. And that's why God gives us such teachings like this, to encourage us, to show us that he can use you as well as he can me. Because there's too much stagnation around. Too many waters are stagnant. And what God has placed in you, you can be that vessel to revive those waters, to bring them back to life. And all our Lord is asking is, will you let him break that flask over our lives so that we can be poured out for him? It's what we want. But if you really hunger and thirst, then you will want it. And you watch. You just see what happens. Heavenly Father, thank you for encouraging us. Thank you, Lord, that you are showing us in these closing days that there is still much to be done. You are showing us that we are above the powers of darkness and the enemy. You have placed us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We're seated with you by faith. You're showing us, Father, what you want to pour through us. Forgive us, Lord, that we still limit you. Forgive us, Father, that we make excuses. We'll do it another day. Or we don't deal with that fear or that unbelief that hinders us. Oh, Father, it's so easy to hinder your work in and through us. Forgive us, Lord. And place within us that thirsting for more and more and more of you. So that we will be those flasks broken, poured out for you. Father, we thank you for this. Thank you for our meeting this evening. Thank you for my brothers and sisters who come into the room. Lord, be with them, bless them, preserve them. Be with their going out and their coming in. May they experience wholeness in mind, body and spirit. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
My soul is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I know. Drink from the river that flows before your throne. Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I long to be deeper in love. Sunrise to sunrise, I will see your face. Drawn by the Spirit to the promise of your grace, my heart has found in you a hope that will abide. Here in your presence, forever satisfied. Hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper,
oh yes,
deeper than I've ever been before. I just wanna love you more and more. How I long to be deeper in love.
Paul Jackson, Jr.
Take us deeper, God.